Good evening. How is everyone?
Great.
Thanks for coming out on a Friday night. I wanted to show you.
Over 100 people filled the community center at a church in southeast Queens for a town hall on flooding.
So, can anybody guess what this is?
They came out after a long commute home at the end of the work week.
All right, these are federal disaster declarations mapped from.
Speakers gave presentations about flood maps, community surveys, and how to prepare for a disaster. You see, in this part of New York, far away from high-priced real estate neighborhoods, flash floods are a fact of life. Some folks were eager to share evidence of flooding at their homes.
It comes into my basement. I have pictures I can also show you.
Vivillon Dean Brown is a longtime resident of the St. Albans neighborhood.
This is just on a regular rainy day. It's flooded. This is water coming into my basement.
It's getting worse. These are some photos that I took from the last rain.
Etta Brown has also lived in St. Albans most of her life.
As you can see, the entire alley, driveway is flooded.
And this is just a regular rain?
Regular rain from the other day.
This isn't even a major storm.
No, it's not. If there's a major storm, well, we're finished.
I'm Steve Kastenbaum. Floods are a growing problem in New York thanks to climate change. Rising sea levels make storm surge flooding worse. But flash floods happen away from the coast when it rains a lot. Extreme rain events are happening more often in New York. Below ground, the water table is also rising, so when it rains, it's like pouring water onto a saturated sponge. It stays on the surface, and low-lying areas flood. There's no question that the city will face more severe storms in the near future. It's a race against time to protect New Yorkers against those future flash floods. In September of 2021, the remnants of Hurricane Ida passed over New York. It rained at a rate of more than 3 inches per hour at times. That's twice the capacity of the sewer system in some neighborhoods. Flash floods paralyzed parts of New York. 11 people died when their basement apartments filled with water. Two of the storm's drowning victims were in a home in the Hollis section of Queens.
I'm down.
Oh, hey.
Good morning. How are you?
How's it going?
Just catching up with some paperwork.
I wasn't sure which door to go.
Yeah, that's all right.
Amit Shiv Prasad came to New York from Guyana with his parents and the rest of their family in the late 90s.
Come on in.
So this is the basement.
Yeah, yeah.
This is where it all happened.
Yep.
All right. It's all redesigned now, so we're better.
All right. Let me make my way down.
They bought their house on 183rd Street in Hollis in 2002. What did it mean to you to have a home when you first got this?
Oh, that's everybody's dream. So anyone that moves to the United States, their whole goal as a family is to have a home that their family could have a place to rest in, bring up their kids, their grandkids, their great grandkids, and that especially my senior parents, that's what their goal was, to actually get a home, so we could have a better way of living and a better quality of life. So for us to own a home, it was one of the best things we could have ever done.
But not long after they moved into the house, their dream faded. A rainstorm made them realize that they would face an uncertain future. You see, when you go down Amit's block, it's like driving into a bowl. It dips down significantly. Did you realize that when you bought the place? Did you think about that at all?
So it became a concern after we bought the house because there was a flood a couple months after we bought. There was a flood that year. And the water wasn't that high at that particular time, right? It was just like a regular rainfall for a few minutes and the street entirely flooded.
After that, when it would rain hard, Amit and his neighbors would go out into the street. They'd use rakes and any other lawn tools they had to clear garbage and leaves from the storm drain on the corner. Anything they could do to keep water from backing up. Then came the aftermath of Hurricane Ida in 2021. The rain was nothing like they had ever experienced before. It came down at a rate of 3.5 inches per hour. It was like a waterfall unleashed from the heavens. Amit took me out into the street to show me what it was like. He brought me over to a tree in front of his house.
If you look at that mark on the tree right there, that's how high the water was that night. So it's right over here. If you look, there's a big mark in the middle of it. It's right here.
This is like up to my torso.
There you go. So that's exactly what it was.
If I'm standing in the street, it's up to my shoulders.
Yeah, that's exactly how high it was. Unfortunately, thank God it didn't go higher than that. It would have been more of a major problem if it had gone that night.
It's hard to imagine how it could have been much worse. While he was up to his chest in water on the street, Amit couldn't see what was happening to the foundation of his house below the surface.
It was a big gap hole into the ceiling, so all the water just receded down into the basement.
The ground was saturated. The pressure against his home's foundation was so great that a part of the basement wall collapsed. Water rushed in.
As soon as I opened that door, the force of the water just pushed me in the door, broke the door back. So I almost got trapped in it as well, because I was trying to find a way to get in to see how, you know, what we could do. And unfortunately, that's the amount of water it was.
Immigrants from Trinidad were staying in his basement. They were friends of the family.
How fast did the basement flood?
Less than 2 minutes.
Could you even get in?
I couldn't.
A 45-year-old woman and her 22-year-old son were still down there.
So what happened to the folks who were...
So two folks died, unfortunately. They drowned. Two was already out.
It's obvious that it's hard for Amit to talk about this.
It's a sad thing because it brings back so much memory, because these are folks you grew up with and people you know very, very close.
Famati Ramskreet and her son, Krisha Ramskreet, were living in the basement with two other family members. Friends said they liked to go by their nicknames, Tara and Nick. They worked in a grocery store in Queens, and Amit knew they didn't have much money, so he invited them to come live in his basement. When his block started to flood that night in September of 2021, Amit said,
"My dad came home twice and told him to get out, to come upstairs with us. Not to go outside in the rain, to come upstairs on the second floor with us, because you don't want to put anyone out in the flood." And fortunately, you know, this situation happened. And he came and notified him. I was outside in the street, so, you know, at the same time, listen to a little bit of instruction, it probably would have been better. We wouldn't have had this conversation about any folks dying. It would have been a different situation. It's so sad that this thing actually happened, because, you know, if I knew that we were living in a pond before we bought this house, we would have never bought this.
You heard right. Amit said they were living on a pond. When his family bought the house, they didn't know why the block was lower than the rest of the surrounding neighborhood. Then he got a call from a reporter who published some stories about what happened to the people who drowned in his basement.
I would never forget the conversation we had. And she said, "Amit, are you sitting down or are you standing up?" I said, "I'm actually sitting in the middle of the street. Well, what's going on?" And she said, "I got something to tell you. This news is going to come out tomorrow, but I'm letting you know from now that you guys are actually living on a pond." And I was like, "What?"
That's when Amit taught himself to do research. He became part detective, part historian. He looked for clues about what was there before his house was built.
In the 1700s, when there were potato farms here. So that pond was designed just to feed water into the farm areas that was here. Okay. So Jamaica Estates, if you came back all the way over, the owners used to live over in the Jamaica Estates.
Jamaica Estates was the more desirable land. It was higher up. It didn't flood.
And their farms was over in this side over of Hillside, where over Hillside Avenue, coming back down to Jamaica Avenue. And then I found all the pictures of the pond, where the pond was and what they did to build houses on it.
So you found historic photos of the pond that once...
From 1920s.
As recently as the 1920s?
Yes. That's when they started to build houses. Because our house was built in 1930, and there's a picture to show when our house was built in.
Do you have that picture? Yeah. Can I see that?
Absolutely.
Amit took me over to a desk with a computer on it. There are piles of folders, maps, and old photos stacked up. A whiteboard hangs on the wall. The budget for renovating his basement is written on it. He and his father spent hundreds of thousands of dollars to replace the foundation with steel-reinforced concrete. They installed pumps and put in a waterproof membrane.
So if you look, this is our house right here.
Right?
And you look at the date, it tells you the date.
12831. Yep. Okay. This is your house.
Yep. So we're just going to look at. So this is 184th Street as it is right now.
There's water in the street.
It's a pond, actually. That's the pond right here.
That's the pond.
Yeah. So you see, they start to drain it to build houses. Look at that.
He and I are talking in the same space where those two people drowned.
I'm going to show you a better picture to that. So this is actually where we are right now. So this is the pond right here.
This looks like a really old map.
Yes. Yeah, so it's from 70, and these are the farms right here.
How old is this map?
1796, if I'm correct.
And what was the pond called? I can't
read. Rock Hollow Pond. This is the pond right here. It's a present today. And these are all the houses. There you go. So if you look at this picture right here, it tells the story. So this is the pond. This is when they drain it. As you see, the houses are being built. Look at that.
So every time it rains, the water wants to come down here because this used to be the pond.
Yeah, water will go where water wants to go.
Water goes where water wants to go. A century ago, a developer paid just a few $1,000s to buy the pond. They drained it, filled it in, and then built cheap houses on the landfill. It was paved over. But when 3.5 inches of rain drenched Hollis, Queens each hour on September 1st, 2021, the water didn't care what was there at the time. You see, water has a memory. It found its way to what used to be Rock Hollow Pond.
We have a climate crisis at the same time we have a housing crisis. And with Ida, those two impacted each other. They collided, right, in catastrophic ways. And we have to solve these two crises at the same time.
That's Robert Freudenberg. He's an expert on adapting cities to deal with the impacts of climate change and mitigating flooding. He works at a public policy think tank in New York called the Regional Plan Association.
I don't think I realized that people had died until I woke up the next morning. And that's the first thing I checked. And I was angry. I was frustrated that knowing all we know, knowing these storms are coming, knowing it was going to be bad, that people still died, that someone who's just struggling to get by and just try to live and make it work in the city dies in their basement by drowning because of a heavy storm.
Before the remnants of Hurricane Ida hit New York, city officials had a good idea of which neighborhoods were at risk of flash floods. The Department of Environmental Protection had just completed some extensive mapping of where flooding was projected to get worse thanks to climate change.
Not that surprising that these maps kind of track with our old ecology. So where the streams used to be that we buried, where the areas that used to be floodplains, those are the areas that get hit the hardest. Lowest lying drainage areas.
The city has a massive playbook for dealing with climate change. Plan YC is chock full of billions of dollars worth of storm mitigation projects. Some have been completed, others are under construction. Many more are in the works. It's not a matter of if we will experience catastrophic floods again, but rather when. There's that race against time to protect the city's most vulnerable neighborhoods. But the thing is, many of those projects depend on some federal dollars.
The city is always applying for federal funding for these projects. You know, again, they've done a good job of identifying the problems and the solutions. They have some of the funding, but they need federal funding.
The Biden administration approved billions of dollars in grants for a variety of projects. But when President Trump entered the White House, one of the things he did was issue executive orders to roll back federal climate change policies.
The question you have to ask with that is, will this government, the federal government, do what it's showing it's willing to do, which is go in and say, no, we're not going to honor that contract. We're either going to take it back. We're not going to pay you if you bill us for it. Will that kind of worst thing happen, which is promised money evaporates?
The floods that those projects are designed to mitigate, well, more often than not, they affect poor and minority New Yorkers. Many of them are immigrants who live in basement apartments. It's the only housing they can afford.
You look at this, you throw the entire New York City, and it's just other states as well. The area where most of these floodings are occurring is of colored descent.
While Amit and I were talking, it started to drizzle.
You go into some of these other areas, for example, and there's money, millions that pours into those areas to fix problems that doesn't even need to be fixed right now. But you come into an area like Southeast Queens and go over Flushing, and you look at these areas and you're like, why are these areas not being fixed? Mm. You know, the electoral officials starting to see it as well. They actually said it, that, you know, it's climate racism.
As we kept talking, the sky darkened and the drizzle turned into a more steady rain.
Every time it rains, you know, no one goes to sleep, no one does anything. It's pretty much pause your entire day. Your whole concept is look out the windows, you know, look on the street for any water or anything like that. People don't go on vacations anymore.
They don't go on vacation because they're afraid.
Because this year is going to flood and their homes are going to be destroyed. Like my dad has like four weather apps. I have about four weather apps on my phone. And I'm looking at 10 days way ahead before I even go anywhere to see what the weather will be before I even plan anything. And it shouldn't be like that.
The flooding, two people drowning in his basement, it scarred Amit. The trauma changed him forever.
You know, I don't sleep much at night anymore. I sleep maybe like 2 hours. Whenever it rains, I don't sleep, period. It's brutal, I'll tell you that. But the emotional part takes a toll on your body because you don't sleep.
Amit wants to prevent anyone else from going through what he experienced. He's now a member of his community board. His phone is filled with contact information for city officials and local politicians. He worries about what will happen to plans for sewer upgrades while President Trump is in office, if the money will still flow from Washington.
What happens when the next flood comes? How many more homes are going to get destroyed? Because we know it's going to happen.
If Amit could wave a magic wand, he'd make all the houses on his block disappear, and he'd bring back Rock Hollow Pond.
Now, my whole goal is now, as part of this new thing I'm working on, is to get this area go back to what it was. I want it to go back to a pond.
He thinks his neighbors should be bought out at a fair price so they can move someplace else that's safer.
You know, we're going to make it, I'm trying to push it as a voluntary buyout because I know folks will not want to leave. Because it's a family community, but at the same time is, what happens when the next flood comes? How many more homes are going to get destroyed?
For the New York City News Service, I'm Steve Kastenbaum.